Welcome everyone to our September Heart Share class. We have some beautiful messages tonight. I've got two different ones that we're going to do. One is from St. Patrick from March 16th of this year, and he's got some beautiful poetry in it. And then there's a second short one that's just, it just was so sweet, and I wanted to add that on as an addendum because it's comforting, and there's so much stuff going on right now, and it's very, it's hard on everybody's nerves and all that. So the second one is from Kathumi from March 7th of this year, and it's called Snowdrops from Kathumi, and it's just a little blessing, which is very, very lovely. So our host for tonight is our own Nancy, who used to live in Oregon and now lives in Paradise Valley in Montana at the Healing Light Retreat there. So I'm going to let her go ahead with the intro part of the class. Take it away, Nancy.
Okie doke. Welcome, everyone. It's so great to be with you all. Tonight, as Barbara said, we're honored to hear from beloved St. Patrick and also a blessing from Kathumi. So St. Patrick, first, he comes to give us some really fun limericks and also a replica of his crozier. At the end of the class, okay. Well, that's very odd because somebody just pulled up into my house, which is very unusual. And I think he realizes he's at the wrong house, but my dog had a little fit. Okay, I'll try to move on. Hopefully I'm not expecting anyone. Okay, here we go. At the end of the class, in about an hour and 15 minutes, you're welcome to stay to find out what's happening in our community with the Heart Center and how you may want to participate and benefit from that. Certainly ask any questions and share any insights and experience you've had. And then also any prayer requests for you and your family and friends, or you could join us in prayer. Okay. I think I need to have you take over, Barbara. Oh, it's just a package.
Yeah, you can leave it right there. Thanks.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
It doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's all good.
Okay. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay. So the last thing was prayers, and certainly we want to be able to pray with you at the end of this call if you have anything on your heart and mind that anyone that you'd like us to pray for. So our mission and vision. And I'm going to read this now and see if it's something that resonates with you and something that you might like to embrace. So the mission of the Heart Center is as follows. Within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and share the Ascended Master's teachings and our love, wisdom throughout the earth. Our vision: we live in sustainable golden crystal age communities in joy and in harmony with Mother Nature using solar sciences of the spirit. We radiate light and we live and love as one. Okay, so hopefully you've received the invocation you're welcome to read it along with me, otherwise to center in your heart as I read this following prayer to get us all centered so that we receive the most from this teachings tonight. In the name of our I Am Presence, we call to you, beloved St. Patrick, thanking you for filling us with your light and your love and raising up higher and stronger with your help. Archangel Michael and your legions, thank you for protecting us tonight physically, mentally, spiritually, and electronically during your class. Thank you for bringing to our class those souls who are eager for more love and light and a desire to obey God. Amen. And now we get to sing together song 134 in the Heart Center Songbook. And this is Sweet Heart of Jesus. So hopefully you've either received this by snail mail or regular email. And as we sing this song, we invite you to visualize golden light radiating out from the sun to each of us in our homes, surrounding us in dazzling golden light. Feel the love of our Father, Mother, God lifting us up and invigorating us.
Wonderful. That's such a beautiful song. Thank you, Nancy, for your intro. The reason we played that particular song, which you'll find out, is that St. Patrick requested that to be played at the end of the Heart Stream. But I thought it would be good to play it now to set the set the vibration and the tone for his message. So now we're going to go into St. Patrick's message from March 16th of 2025. St. Patrick's gives us a replica of his crozier. And a crozier is the staff that he had, just so you know.
St. Patrick inspired some limericks upon me, and I hope it's not too many, but this is part of his message for today, with love, light, and leaven. "'Tis St. Patrick's charge to invoke great green light to quicken the woke. No greater God's shock to the demons of rock than to cancel them, make them go broke. Investments of prayer shine each day with miraculous blessings at play. Each pure God petition uttered with erudition holds demons and darkness at bay. There are some pure servants of God who focus on spirit, not bod. They pray every day to the emerald ray to bless Aaron's rivers and sun." Of course, Aaron is the name for Aaron. "To all who love emerald light, with its vast healing properties bright, now remember St. Pat with his scepter white hat to exorcise snakes from your sight. The Blarney Stone kissed and revered, to the British to scorn, cursed and feared, yet through pure Irish magic ne'er ever yields havoc. Talismanic light always is mirrored. Hold visions of grace with green ray as you meditate, dance, sing, and pray. For your third eye pristine and your mind clear and keen, hold the keys to each glorious day. When at last March gives way to each spring and the day's solar miracles bring, great new seeds sown on earth will result in rebirth, blessed by Patrick, our Irish Saint King. To foster God's plan for each soul, to accelerate all toward their goal, a twinkle of mirth yields pure joy and self-worth for each spirit to feel happy whole. True messengers all are ye now, as you practice to walk, live the Tao. Opportunity knocks, and the solar path rocks as you strive to fulfill every vow. As great fun, glee, frivolity soars when Richard the poet restores all to levity's wiles as each limerick smiles, rhyming magus, his word never bores. As a wordsmith of yore come again to tickle our hearts, entertain his punning and jokes told to youth, ladies, blokes, have now rivaled the jester Mark Twain. When services such as this one, punctuated with laughter and fun, are remembered by all to dissolve lack and pall, and a scene family new is spun." And then one that's more of a regular type of poem. "In heaven, jocularity has never been a rarity with masters such as Funway, M, and Ling. For their wordsmithing charity brings all such mirth, hilarity, that all rise up and with the angels sing. The antics of the jesters and the crazy wiles of testers are simply means of making all to laugh. The rhythms of the rumbas and the movement of the sambas give exercise to all of heaven's staff. So let joy meditation now replace dark medication as you rise to greet the sun and start each day. For all inane temptation and your grand initiation will with laughter's levity just fade away."
And now we're going to have a question. The first question on our list for tonight's program: how does humor dispel darkness? And our own Nancy is going to answer this. Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, what I would like to say about this is that when we are joyous and laugh and use humor and Just living in a more jovial type of feeling throughout our day, then that energy then really does not allow the energy of darkness to be in our world, because that which we focus on and the energy that we perpetuate in our being, I think we all know we attract what we focus on. Hopefully we all know that. And, you know, kind of reminds me of a friend years ago. A friend of mine was in Los Angeles, and she, "Oh, I'm going to San Francisco. I'm just so nervous. I'm going to be mugged and this and that." She was so fearful. And sure enough, she went there and she got mugged and her jewelry was stolen right off her body, yada, yada. So, I mean, it's terrible. So the point is, if you focus on humor and seeing life in a light way and laughing more, we just won't even allow the energy of darkness to penetrate us. And one last thought, as I was thinking about what to share tonight, the last time I was sick, I don't get sick very often, yet I was pretty sick a while back with something, I don't remember what, but I was feeling really awful and not feeling like I really couldn't shake it. And I was inspired by my higher self to just laugh out loud, just force myself to laugh. And I did that, and I really do feel like it helped to shake things up in a way where then I did start getting better. I kind of felt better right away just doing that. So if ever life is just really bogging you down and you're feeling overwhelmed, I invite you to just let out some laughter, even though it's going to be somewhat fake, but doesn't matter because it's still laughing and you're still bringing in that joy. So anyway, great things to keep in mind as we go through our days and weeks and our lives, and things can get difficult. Yet if we keep that jovial spirit and we laugh, even when we don't feel like laughing, it can help. So, all right. That's what my sharing is. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy. Yeah, you have it. I'm sure you remember the laughter yoga exercises that we do from time to time during our services. Sometimes and it's been scientifically studied too, that when you laugh, you breathe deeper, you bring in more oxygen. It truly does have healthy and beneficial effects upon your, not only your emotional body, but your physical body as well. So it does have great benefits when you laugh, because you draw in more oxygen. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, and also, Barbara, there's also, I may add, if I may, there's also hormones that are released, positive hormones that are released.
Oh, that's right.
By our adrenals and other organs that actually are positive and healthy hormones. So that's a physiological action as well. So
our humor hormones, huh? We should get the names of those humor hormones so we can ask for them specifically in our prayer work. I think that would be something interesting to add to that one call sheet that's where we walk through all the different parts of the body and do healing. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I'm going to look up the hormones that are released. And let you know later.
Okay, great. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah.
I think we'll go ahead on and do another question now before we get into St. Patrick's, the body of his message, now that he's given his prayers and limericks. Is question number 2. It's the one that Donna Dregan was going to answer, and I'll read she sent me her information that she got to the answer of this question. What is a talisman and what is it used for? And what she says, a talisman is any object ascribed with religious or magical powers intended to protect, heal, or harm individuals for whom they are made. Talismans are often portable objects carried on someone in a variety of ways, but can also be installed permanently in architecture. Talismans are closely linked with amulets, fulfilling many of the same roles, but a key difference is in their functions. An amulet protects a person or possession against evil forces, while a talisman provides good fortune. A belief in talismans stems from the ancient understanding that everything in the universe vibrates with energy. Talismans are thought to harness these vibrations to influence the energies around the wearer or holder, promoting harmony and health. A talisman is used to provide good fortune, protection, or to fulfill specific desires, such as aiding in fertility or enhancing crop production. It is often ascribed with magical or religious powers and be carried. You know, this a lot of this goes back to Celtic lore, where they used wands of specific trees for various purposes, mostly for enhancing prayer work, and some used for spell casting and things like that. And many of the masters and priests and religious figures would carry a staff of some kind, sometimes with a jewel or a decoration or whatever at the top to focus energy through. And as you've seen, some of the pictures we have of the various ascended masters, they have a staff with a jewel or something like that on them, and that's to concentrate and focus the energy that they convey into the world. And so we pray for positive energy to go through us, and you can even, you can create your own magic wand or whatever if you desire, or use just a semi-precious stone or something like that if you like, and you can dedicate it and bless it on your altar and use it to help focus your attention and your energy when you're engaging in prayer work. So this heart streaming that we're going to hear now is St. Patrick gives us a replica of his crozier. And his crozier is that bishop's staff that he holds that has a round shape. It has carved leaves. We think originally the staff had real, it was a branch with real leaves and stuff on it at the top that was used as a talisman, as a focus of energy. So now I'm going to go ahead on with St. Patrick's message.
Precious hearts of light, we bring the emerald ray into play within your lives now for the victory of joy as you employ love every moment of your lives in conscious, sacred emanations which liberate the soul which has been in hibernation for quite a while. You see, precious ones, as you use light to cast out the serpent snakes of delusion and illusion, You are the winners. For within the alchemy of transmutation, there is a great God gradation of light manifest in your own auric field. Green. And it's waving and glorious strands of nature's beauty. Yes, I walked Aaron's shores, and now I walk with you, as does Enoch, Methuselah, Melchizedek, and Yeshua. And we are here for you in the becoming that you are manifesting. Dearest ones, love is always the key to your victory and all things, as you know. Yet you must turn that key. You must move, dance, spin, and arise within new dimensions of mindfulness, thoughtfulness, hallowedness. The joy that we share and the love that we care to express unto one another and unto all is God's love, divine, sublime. And in the rhythm of the heart, and the rhyming of words, of the living word in our midst, there is the alchemy of that word becoming flesh through our every movement, our every deed, every act. In fact, dearest ones, your reality is more real now than at any time in your past, or in the eternal now. Reality is all that exists. Therefore, sing your prayers, dance your songs, shower with the Elohim as they shower upon you light essences of co-creative power. Walk amidst the trees and upon the hills. Climb the highest mountains in your area, time and again. Differentiate between what is true and mutually beneficial versus that which no longer serves your soul or the beings of others. Hallow space and noble time with positivity, creativity, and the sublimity of what a true son or daughter of God represents on behalf of the Creator. Come into union within yourself day after day. And if and when you feel
one weird ingredient spreading around,
sorry,
while people are discovering,
feel divided in some way, let go of separation and accept the liberation of oneness within yourself, one with God eternally. Precious ones, I now give you a crozier, a replica of my own staff of light to utilize in the casting out of those serpent snakes of illusion within the world and within self. Now grasp this, hold it high, use it as a talisman in coming days, victorious in all your efforts to bring the faith, the love, and the wisdom in balance unto all whom you serve, gracefully, graciously, and fervent.
And now we're going to have another question. Question number 3. What are some examples of serpents of illusion within the world? I'm sure we can all think of some. What immediately came to mind when I saw this question was mainstream media and some of the news stations that twist words and give incomplete and sometimes totally distorted information about stories so that we get an incorrect read on what's really going on within that story. They try to mold and guide public opinion by the way they tell about a news item. And that is definitely the serpent mind at work. Remember in the Garden of Eden, when the snake conversing with Eve said, when she said that they weren't supposed to eat that fruit because God said if they did, they would die. And the snake said, well, thou shalt not surely die. In other words, he was planting the seeds of doubt within her mind. In other words, that's not really true. That's what he was telling her. And so there's lots of ways to lie. If you can lie by commission, and you can lie by omission. So that's one thing that truly came to mind. Another thing that came to mind is just, not to offend people's sensibilities, but that's the whole lie of transgenderism, which is that you can change, if you're born in a female body, you can change into a male, or if you're born in a male body, you can change into a female. Well, and they always say, well, follow the science, follow the science. Well, the real science is that no amount of drugs or surgery is going to change your DNA. And there's only XX, which is female, and XY, which is male. That's it. There are a few anomalies, but they're like 1/100 of 1% of the population of the world. So it's either male or female. That's it. And everything else is an illusion. It is wishful thinking. It is basically a fantasy. And sad but true, but that's what it is. And a lot of people, unfortunately, have bought into this, and it has done irreparable harm in our homes and families, in our schools, in our public institutions, everywhere, in businesses. And people are squabbling and bickering over this, and has caused a great deal of dissension in the world. And that is definitely a serpent snake of illusion, in my opinion. So, and we can look around us everywhere, and there's things like that everywhere. So be forewarned. We're going to go ahead on now with St. Patrick's message.
The heart is the seat of true wisdom, as you know. Therefore, muse through your heart to know the truth of any given situation that you must come into resolution within. The heart speaks. Are you listening? The heart knows. Are you grasping its divine reason beyond human non-reason? When I walk to Aaron's shores, angels followed me everywhere. You too can invite them to be where you are every moment of every day. As you pray, sing, dance, and play, they will revel in your life lived to God's glory. They will maintain an energy field around you that suffuses you with that joy. Hallows who you are again and again within a cosmic field of divine beingness, reverence, and peace. As you celebrate springtime, wherever you are in the north and autumn in the south, let there be a new resonance within you, your cells, the atoms and electrons that hold all life together within you, so that that synchronicity with spirit will truly result in right choices, right actions, right words, right inspiration for all.
And now we're going to have one final question. Why should we pray for discrimination? And our own beloved Maria from Florida is going to answer this one. Maria, are you on? It's time for you to unmute. We can't hear you, Maria. Are you there? Well, I guess she wasn't able to get on, so I will go ahead. And Nancy, do you have anything to say on that topic?
I'll let you go ahead and share your thoughts.
Okay. Why should we pray for discrimination? Well, that's one of the most important qualities to have. Beloved Saint Paul said in the New Testament that of all the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit that we should pray for the most, we should pray for discrimination. And what is discrimination? It's being able to tell real from false. To be able to tell real from unreal, from good from bad. So sometimes the differences are very subtle. So to have real discrimination, our third eye needs to be very clear and very pure. And so we should pray for the clearing of that third eye, pray for the strengthening of our own wisdom, to tell the difference between what's real and unreal, because it's not always easy to know. Sometimes the difference is really obvious, but sometimes the gradations are very subtle. So having that power of discrimination is truly important. So we should pray for that so we can tell and not be fooled by the wiles of the dark one, as they say. Well, I'm going to go ahead on now. We just have a little bit here of St. Patrick's message to finish.
Now an emerald angel comes to bless you with abundance. And as you have a love offering this day, this angel will magnify by God's and Jesus' dispensation what you offer on behalf of this community. And then, within 33 days, you are truly humble and truly magnanimous in your thoughts, feelings, words, and deeds. There will be a return unto you that will be tangible, great, and blessed. So, dearest ones, as Boyd plays, Sweetheart of Jesus, sung by a beautiful angel of light, use this time in offering your heart to God. And as you offer something to this community, whether physical abundance, if that is not doable for you, then some givingness and offering of your heart. I, St. Patrick, bless it now with the angel, consecrated for God's holy will, wisdom and love fulfilled in time and space, right here and now. And I thank you, each one, for all that you have co-created thus far and will continue to manifest and precipitate for the duration of your time upon earth and then everlastingly in heaven. God bless you. God keep you within the holy raiment of his eternal fire, light. Amen.
Wonderful. And that's the end of St. Patrick's heart stream there. And now I'm going to play.
Go ahead and talk. Barbara.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Maria.
Oh, there you are, my dear.
I've been here all the time. I pressed that button that Joanne just came in and had to use her phone, you know, so that we could talk, because I couldn't do it in my phone. Something must be wrong. And then I couldn't use my computer either. We usually use hers, but she had to go to a meeting and she just came in. I was telling
Maria,
you, I'm here and I'm ready to answer the question.
Oh, Maria, were you pressing star, Maria, were you pressing star six on your phone, Pat?
No, I was pressing the button, the on, what do you call
the
it?
Unmute?
The voice mute.
Yeah, no, you need, for these calls, you need to press star six to get muted or unmuted. That's what sends you back and forth from muted to unmuted, star six. So just remember that for next time.
Okay, I remember that for next time. For this one, because the last time I was in a meeting, I couldn't use that nothing. I couldn't get across until the very last, just like now. That's a shame because I
was. Well, would you like to go ahead? Did you have something prepared for the question why we should pray for discrimination?
Yes, I wrote something on it. Discrimination,
okay,
because discrimination. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you please give your answer. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. So I wrote that discrimination is unjust and it's prejudicial. And acts of discrimination are for many, wait a minute, acts of discrimination are very different for very different reasons, such as gender, race, religion, and acts of discrimination happen in workplaces, in schools, in colleges, in universities, and even at home. Discrimination grieve and hurt and torment people, especially those people treated unfairly, those who get insulted, even hurt because of their race or their beliefs, men or women or children, it doesn't matter. Malice in their workplaces, so many reasons and institutions, are not just here, but everywhere in this planet there is discrimination. We have known that there are places that discriminate against women and don't let them have any education. And we should ask God lovingly, and we should pray to really lovingly stand by these people, because they are really hurting. And we should pray for victims of discrimination, for our God is a God that is just and loving, kind, considerate. He hears our prayers. First, we pray for those persons who are inconsiderate, unloving, unjust. So we pray that they should change their minds and be enlightened and be loving, and not open their hearts to hurt others because they're not like they are, or they're not of the same race. And so we should be sisters and brothers to all who truly are the children of God. So that's why they say that kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Maria. Wonderful. Well, we're going to go ahead now and listen to this one last little message from Kasumi. It's just about 5 minutes long, and then we'll have our announcements and our prayer time. And you can press *6 at that time, Maria, and give the announcements for us when I give you the cue for that, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now I'm going to go ahead and play Snowdrops from Kasumi.
Watch what peanut butter does to our body.
After I get rid of these ads, I'm so sorry. I didn't know they would have this stuff on YouTube.
Does your teeth and gums. With dental issues.
Frustrating. Okay, here we go.
Blessed are the ones that come with devas of light, who have a light that's here with great joy and fanfare, where the elementals are welcome, the fairies flourish, the gnomes and the sylphs collaborate to create a beautiful space for people to come, to view, to gaze in wonderment, and to feel expressions of light that are so precious to sustain our souls in the sweetness of nature. As you know, the butterfly represents a resurrected being. And so when you are resurrected and pleasant, as the butterfly has, free to fly, to soar, and to involve yourselves in the pollination of plants, there is an alchemy that transpires, where you too are raised. You too are glorified. You can express eternal nature and the beauty of blessedness and the hallowedness and the sweetness of life as you experience it from the palm. Now as raindrops fall upon this place, and the sylphs and the young maids respond to my coming, there is a special blessing upon Columbus, your upcoming expo, and each live stream that you will communicate with these next 2 days, to bless them with your presence, sweetness of your soul, the awe of your experience of God's presence in your life, and how they too can enter into that state of a natural life lived, beauty and grace of God. So as you pray and hallow space with your divine thoughts, as you meditate upon the gentleness of all of nature, I am there in your midst, focusing you toward greater sense of peace, inner peace, outer peace, universal peace. Now, as you depart this place, express through your hearts the love for every life stream. And feel that love as an emerging energy that encompasses all, as a vital frequency that transforms everything in the joy and the radiance and the kaleidoscopic colors of the almonds, the rainbow, the butterfly, the robin, the swan, gentle silks. Be at peace, my brethren, my sisters. Be at peace within yourselves. Be at peace with every life form. Honor the Holy Spirit. May you live, move, and have your being.
And that is the end of Kasumi's message. So thank you so much for being with us.